Hello, my name is Sam Clement, and welcome to The Love of Cinema, a Picture House podcast powered by Kia, proud supporters of independent cinema. And on this week's mini episode, this bonus episode, we have a cracking independent film to talk about. I was lucky enough on this bonus episode to talk to the director, Sophie Hyde, director of the new film, Good Luck to You, Leo Grand, a really wonderful British independent movie starring Emma Thompson and Daryl McCormick. And that's it. It's just the two of them for 90 minutes. But it works, and it's wonderful. I love this film. It was shot during the pandemic, and that's why the small cast was beneficial. And we'll talk all about it with Sophie. But I saw this film a few months ago, fell in love with it, and lo and behold, it ended up being the opening night film of the Sundance Film Festival London, which just took place at Picture House Central. And it was the opening night film. There was a big premiere. Emma and Daryl, the cast members, came along. The writer, Katie Brand, came down. And director Sophie Hyde. So while Sophie was in town, I was lucky enough to have a... Often at these interviews, you only get sort of a few minutes, you know, 5-10 minutes. Sophie spoke to us for like 25 minutes. It was amazing. So had a really nice chat with Sophie, whose previous film, Animals, we also played at Picture House Cinemas. Some of you may have seen. If you haven't seen it, I recommend checking it out. But before you do that, do check out Good Luck to You, Leo Grand, and enjoy this interview with director Sophie Hyde.
For 31 years, my husband would climb on top, do the business, roll off, put his pyjamas on and go back to sleep.
I've never had an orgasm. And yes, in fact, if we do this, you will only be the second man I have ever had sex with. Oh, God.
Now, Nancy.
This is crazy.
Nancy.
It's terrible. It's wrong.
Nancy?
Yes?
Let's go to bed.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to the Picture House podcast, Sophie Hyde.
Hello.
Now, I don't think I did the interview, but you were on the podcast back when Animals was released, I'm going to say 4 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Do you remember that interview? No. it's really nice to have you back. Of course, we're at Picture House, we released Animals in cinemas, your previous movie, and it was a joy to work on. And when we saw Good Luck to You, Leo Grand was on the schedule, was on the Sundance lineup earlier this year, we were all very excited. Like, oh, another Sophie Hyde film, amazing, can't wait to see it. And dutifully, everybody at the office, you know, marched down to the screening, and we watched it, and we all had an absolute blast with your new film.
Oh, that's so brilliant, thank you. We had a blast at Picture House last time too, and I just remember it being like such a great release and having so much fun there. Yeah,
it was a fun... I mean, Animals is like it's a ride, and I think everybody really got into the spirit of things.
Yes, it truly is. It's a wild movie, and it was a wild time.
What happened? So, like, you know, Animals came out. We had a wild time. We did a party. We released a movie. What happened? Sort of in your career after that? Did you know what you were going to do next, or you know, did you have a period of let's have a think?
I went home to Australia and made a TV series, like a limited series there, which was about teenagers sharing explicit photos of each other online. So it was really quite dark, actually. Big ensemble kind of work with teenagers and adults. So I did that, and that kind of happened at the same time as the Animals started releasing. And then, well, 2020 happened, if I recall.
Like that little thing.
Yeah, things kind of paused. Like I went into a period of deep development, which was really amazing because I'd been on the road a fair bit for the few years before that, and I was suddenly at home, like a lot of us. And I started to write some projects that were projects that might have needed a bit more time that I couldn't have devoted my time to. And so I felt like I sort of really... I got a bit stiller than I had been for a while and did that. And then this film came to me, and it just was a really exciting proposition. And also I thought, well, I can make this during the pandemic. We can make this in lockdown. It's not so risky. You know, we can put in the right things in place to make it safe for everybody.
Oh, wow. I guess it's sometimes circumstance sort of dictates things. And you know, watching this film, because it is a, you know, it's for the most part just two wonderful cast members in a single location. It feels like the perfect lockdown project.
It is. And I don't know if it was envisioned as a lockdown project, but certainly during lockdown, it became a really a good one to do. Mm. And for me, like, Australians weren't allowed to leave the country during lockdown. So we had to get an exemption to travel, but we could get this exemption to do this. And because we were in a place that was really COVID-free, we came over and we like felt like we were coming into the plague or something, do you know? So we were like many masks up, you know? And we didn't really know anything about what was going on with it then. But yeah, it's also just emotionally, we were really disconnected from each other for a while, or only connected to certain people. And to make a film like this at that time, I think it was helpful. There was, you know, we were talking about connection and intimacy, and we were thinking about what that means in our lives and letting go of kind of preconceived ideas of that. And so it, in that way, it felt like a perfect pandemic movie.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think it's like, I guess mentally, a lot of people were only able to connect via Zoom or you know, phone calls and things. And film was one of those industries, film and TV, where you could actually get large groups of people together with lots of precautions in place. And like, it must have been so weird seeing suddenly, you know, a whole film crew in one under a roof inside.
Truly, it is. We're so lucky that we got to keep making. And you know, there's so much being made over this period. And I mean, you can't even book crews. Like, you can't get studios. Like, it's so busy. And that's because we all watch so much now, you know. But it did feel so fun, so lovely to be with a group of people. And you know, everyone's tested and everything. So you're a bit, you don't have the anxiety of it as well. And you do feel a little bit bad too, because there are so many people that can't do things. And, you know, there were people that couldn't see, you know, grieving relatives and things like that. But, you know, we kept making, and there's a reason, I think. It's because we really, really needed stories, and we really, like, turned to stories over that period.
Do you think, because you made this, when you made this, like, actually you just sort of bonded with the cast and crew a bit more than you would normally if you, you know, could go off into town afterwards, or people might have different social plans when they're not working?
It's a funny thing to say, but I thought, this is going to be really hard to connect with everybody if we can't go out for a drink afterwards, you know, because I'm Australian, so that's sort of what we do. Like, you know, like, you go to the pub and you get to know each other. I thought, how are we going to do that, you know? But really, we were in Norwich and it was locked down. There was no one around. It was just us. We felt like we were together all the time. There was no distractions. Mm. People weren't leaving. There was no partying. And so we really did do the kind of take away all the surface level connecting and do the proper one, you know. And yeah, there was a focus. There was an extreme focus. And I think even just being in Norwich, you know, Emma and Daryl got to spend a lot of time together without, you know, having to, there's that thing when you go away to make something and you're like, you miss your family, but you're also, you just focused on what you're doing. You're consumed by what you're doing. And it's so nice. And this was a quick shoot. So it was fantastic and really necessary. I think it's harder if you have to, like, do all the commuting each day home and everything.
I was going to ask, because it is, just by the very nature of it being a small cast in a small location, it must have been quite a snappy shoot. How long did it all take?
It was a 19-day shoot.
Oh, wow.
Which was fast. And it was actually 3 weeks, because it was six-day weeks. And on the seventh day, the Sundays, we would get together, Emma and Daryl, the two actors, and Brian, the cinematographer, and I, and we would go onto the set and sort of block out and plan out the next week so that we felt ready. And we had to, the pace that we had to work at, it worked okay because Emma and Daryl rose up, you know, like, they were just, they knew what they were doing. They had their lines. They delivered beautiful performances, and the creative team, you know, worked out a way to shoot that was, like, protective of that performance and, you know, long 12-minute takes, you know, otherwise we couldn't have got there. We just we just wouldn't have got there. So it's just everyone being really, really skillful. But also we had a week of rehearsals, and that meant that we were really on the same page of it as each other. So we stepped onto the set really as a team and ready to go. And it wasn't a huge crew, and that's also means that you can work a little bit faster too, I think.
Less bits to move around and less people to manage.
No moving. That helped us quite a lot. Yeah. And it was a location. And it wasn't a location. It was a studio. So it was like such civilized hours for a film crew.
Well, I mean, yeah, the film is mostly, you know, Emma and Daryl on screen. I feel like there might be another actor at the beginning in a cafe, but once we're in the meat of the story, you've got these two incredible actors together. When did they come on board? Was that something that you were, you know, was anyone attached when the script came to you?
Yes. Emma was attached already, and when I got the call that there was a project and it was about an older woman hiring a sex worker to have good sex for the first time in her life, and Emma Thompson is that woman, I was taken aback because the concept is great, Emma's great, but something about the combination of them felt like, you know, just one of those moments where you're like, I have to do this, you know. It's perfect. They're perfect for each other. So Em was already on, and so I had to talk to her and the writer, Katie, and Debbie, the producer, originally. And then we together worked to find Daryl. And we got to look at a whole lot of different actors who didn't necessarily have massive, you know, names yet in the industry, but who were doing interesting things. And Daryl has just really sort of, we watched his tapes and we were both really taken. And then he and Em met, and I met him as well. And he didn't come from theatre, or he hadn't done a huge amount of stuff. And so it felt like there was a bit of a risk involved. You know, for him, I think he felt the risk of like going head to head with one of the greatest actors in the world where there's nowhere to hide. And he really just, you know, he just really rose to it. And they worked so well together. They did so much, you know, they worked on their lines at night and they spent time together, and he felt supported. And I think through that support, you know, a kind of performance can come out that he might not have had the ability to do on other film sets, where you sort of walk in and just have to bring it instantly, yeah, you know, as a guest role or something, you know. Yeah, I think it was so delightful. And he brought so much to the role. Like, there's just these layers of Daryl that I think really helped us with Leo. And he's the kind of person that walks into a room and he's like, okay, who are you? Like, and he listens to you and he hears and sees you and tries to meet you and put his own stuff aside. And that's very much like the character. And I found that a really expanding process.
100%. I mean, he's been on television. We've seen him before in bits and bobs, but this is a star-making performance from him. And you come out thinking like, wow, it's been so long since I've seen Emma Thompson in a leading role where she's had so much screen time, but also, who's this guy? I want to see more of him. And if he is not, you know, a leading man in some big Hollywood movies very soon, I'd be hugely surprised, because he oozes charisma.
So true. I mean, but also the Emma thing, like how she hasn't been offered these kinds of roles is ridiculous, really. Like, she's so gorgeous, so smart. She does all these great performances, but I want to see her do like all sorts of things now. Yeah. You know, and it's like Michelle Yeoh doing the Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like, look at these women. I mean, gosh, I want more of these stories.
You know? No, 100%. It felt like Emma Thompson's always working and in really interesting stuff, but often with the and Emma Thompson credit. You're like, why can't we have just Emma Thompson?
Yeah.
And this film, I think, is the first time we've seen that for such a long time.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, where have you been all our life, Emma?
I know. I mean, she made a comment the other day that, you know, she doesn't get offered, she wasn't getting offered, you know, sex sort of roles, like roles where they're, and I'm like, really? She's such a sensual, interesting person. And also, well, people have sex, not just people that are like sexual people. Like, and I just think it's so interesting how segregated all those kind of ideas are in our stories.
I think this film is great for having those, prompting those conversations. Like, why aren't we seeing more films like this? Well, that's a good question. You know, industry and audiences. Like, let's see if the demand is out there. I think what this film does is it sort of presents it in such an accessible way and very relatable. You know, like, no matter what your background is or current situation, like, I think you can sort of see both character sides. You can maybe see a bit of your own life in there as well. And like, it's good to have those conversations.
Yeah, I agree totally. And like, to talk about sex as something that we, you know, participate in and do, and that is emotionally driven, and it's also physical, and it, you know, it's not just something that is for show, and it's not just about kind of some sort of dirty idea of getting off, or just something that's kind of like, ooh, check out this amazing sex scene. You know, that sex is just a continuation of our lives and our conversations, you know. I think that's what was really exciting to be making, that kind of movie. And Leo was the perfect character for that because he's kind of like the crossover from conversation to sex is all one idea. And for Nancy, it isn't. Mm. And that's part of, you know, what I loved about the two of them coming together is her preconceived ideas were opened up.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, she's so in a shell at the beginning of the film. And obviously, this is his job and he's very experienced doing this. Mm. I love the scene where he's just sort of like, you know, listing out what, because I think Nancy comes with a list.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, let's start with a blowjob. And like, actually, to hear someone say that in a film that isn't like, you know, in a sexy way or anything, it's just very matter of fact.
Yes.
Like, yeah, actually, that's refreshing to hear.
I mean, don't you love him? Because you're like, you love someone that's good at what they do or is trying to be good at what they do, but also someone that's like, okay, well, let's give this blowjob a go.
Yeah. Treat it like it's a task that needs to be achieved.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Let's go somewhere new. See worlds we've never seen before. So that we can feel inspired. Whether you're sitting in a cinema or in one of our cars, inspiration comes when we feel something new. That's why our electrified range is designed to take you on inspiring journeys. Kia, proud supporter of independent cinema. Kia, movement that inspires.
How, when you were preparing for the film, what sort of conversations did you have with Emma and Daryl? And you know, did you set them any homework? Was there any sort of required reading or essential viewing before the film started?
Mm. No, I feel like Emma understood the character of Nancy from the first time she read it. There was something in her that really was compelled to do the work, and she saw something very familiar, and she knew how to do it. She always knew Nancy really, really well.
Mm.
The work that we did together was very much about, you know, getting on track with what our purpose was and what we were trying to say and the meaning and the way that we would do that. Daryl, we did a lot of conversations with sex workers. We did a lot of talking to people and we did a lot of talking with each other before we were even in the room, just to make sure that we was saying the same thing, or that we had found a character together that we wanted to present. So that was more the work. It was research. Yeah, not so much movies. Yeah, I think Daryl's got a thing where he doesn't watch people that he's acting against in movies when he's been cast opposite them. So I think he couldn't watch Emma for the whole time.
She's in a lot of stuff. Yeah,
oh yeah. No! Limiting.
I do find that sort of, yeah, the preparation process quite interesting. And again, especially on this one, because it's the two of them. They've got each other and they rely so heavily on each other. I think whatever sort of went into the prep process pays off, because we as the audience get to benefit from these really engaging performances on screen.
Mm.
Like I was so part of that world when watching the film.
Thank you. Yeah. She's really good, Emma, at sort of knowing what she needs to help her get to where she needs to go. And that includes kind of the relationship that she needed to build with me and the relationship that she needed to build with Daryl. And so that sounds calculated. It's not calculated. It's a big part of her skill is going, this is the kind of way that we need to be able to interact and the support that we need from each other. And so she helps to enable that. You know, as a director, that's amazing to have somebody that's working with you to help you create that. And she knew that, you know, Daryl, she has great respect for him, and she had so much faith in him. And for someone like Daryl to be given that amount of faith by an actor like Emma just means that he had an ability to show it, you know, to bring it. Yeah.
I think that's it also must be so fun, like, you know, Emma's one of, you know, the greatest actresses working at the moment, and for you as director to come in and, you know, like, she's everything she's everything you hoped and more, you know.
It's like, we had a joke when we first met her, Brian and I, we were like, she's peak Emma Thompson. She's just peak Emma, and she is. It's not fake. Like, who she presents as is who she is. Mm. And what surprised me about her, though, was just that watching the skills come out, like the skills of being nice to everybody, being generous, the preparation work. All the best actors I've ever worked with prepare so much. They do so much work, you know, and they're so ready to dig in and explore things. You know, they're never just calling it in. Mm. those things really impressed me. And I always just wish that everyone could have a masterclass with Emma. Like, before you come onto set, just have this little session with Emma Thompson. Like,
I've got a videotape. You need to all watch it.
Exactly. But, you know, she's also, I don't know if I can swear on here, but she's no bullshit too. Mm. Like, if something isn't right, she'll call it out. So you never feel like it's false because she will tell you. You know, like, that's really refreshing. And that frees you quite a lot.
I think that's really nice to hear, because you never know, do you, like, what's real, what's publicity, and what. But I think, you know, Emma's been very vocal outside of, you know, being on screen in her personal life, and I think you get, like, she's a no-nonsense sort of, you know, straight down the line sort of person, which you can't help but respect, and it makes her even cooler.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, truly, truly. Yeah. She doesn't suffer fools, though. No.
Did you get a glimpse into her, sort of, how she prepares, or did she very much, you know, would turn up fully prepared?
Oh no, she's very collaborative. So she opened the doors for me. I felt like we were in the mud together for sure. She obviously had done all sorts of work before she arrived, but we did this week of rehearsals, and we delved into our lives and looked at things physically. And yeah, I don't know if you can ever get quite inside someone like that's brain and how they manage the shifting thinking, but you know, watch Emma and like you can see the thinking happen in the character, and that's amazing. But certainly, you know, we saw her learn lines, we saw her like work out blocking, she had questions, she calls on you, you know, she's not an actor that's like, let me be, don't talk to me, director. No, she wants you as a director with her, like, and as a director, your job is to catch the balls and to protect somebody and to see what the audience will see, you know. And and so you're there all the time kind of trying to feed that in and be responsive to that. So she also made me feel needed and trusted, and that really helps as a director.
Oh, nice. Well, the room, you know, the film is set largely in this one room. How did you build that space? Because it's a small room, but it's got lots of things for people to interact with. Like, I love that there's a couch, and that's where they start, and then they sort of move towards the bed slowly. And it's not like, yeah, we're in quite a fancy hotel right now. It's not sort of this level of fancy, but it's not like a business hotel. It's sort of like it's a very like average hotel, I suppose.
Yeah, and that was really what we were going for. I didn't want to be like, it's a huge suite, you know, and I didn't want it to be like a travel lodge. Do you know what that is? Yeah, like a motel. That she needed to have made a choice about where she wanted to be, but she didn't. She's not necessarily really wealthy, but she may have splurged on the room. In the script there was a couch and there was a mini bar and things like that. So some of it was kind of preordained, but I decided I really wanted this huge window and the view and to shoot it during the day. So all this light in there, and which was a real challenge for our whole creative team. And I also was like, I want it to be a neutral kind of colour palette, which is also really difficult for a creative team because they're like, you know, colour is easier on film. And we talked a lot. Mirren, our production designer, and Brian, the cinematographer, we spoke a lot about how we would move them through the room and just what the layout needed to be to get that to work. And the mirrors became really important. Where were the mirrors placed? And there were little like nice, you know, tweaks, like these really soft blue carpet that was really fun that you might not have in a hotel. But mostly, yeah, it was just about finding the right kind of where they could move in the space. We wanted it to always feel like we could move around them. They could move in the space. The cinematography could change across the movie. And so it was all part of that design. And when you just have one room, all your focus goes there. So you really can do all of that work. She did a great job, I think.
It must be the most well-designed hotel room that's ever been seen on screen.
I know. She'd be a great hotel designer. Like, yeah, she'd be really good.
If you're listening, hotel chains.
Exactly.
The film had its premiere at Sundance, which was online back in January, but it is now being shown in cinemas, which is great because I think it is a really good communal film. And it's, for me anyway, like it's all about hearing what people say in the foyer afterwards, how people are, you know, sort of interpreting it.
I can't wait to be watching it with an audience because I think it's fine online, this sort of film, but yeah, I love the idea that people are watching it together, speaking about it straight afterwards. And there's something that happens to watching a film like this that's very intimate in a cinema screen where all the sound is very nuanced and beautiful, and that all comes to the fore. And so you really feel kind of immersed in the world in a way that's very hard to do at home, I think. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to audiences watching it. And I think everyone wants to talk about the film after they finish. So the fact that they can, yeah, walk outside to the foyer and do that instead of be like, do you want to meet for coffee next week and talk about the film we watched online?
Well, I think sometimes, you know, when you're working in the cinema, it's like you can tell the films where people, they want to go. There's a train to catch. There's a bus to get. And then, you know, the films that, like you mentioned, Everything Everywhere All at Once, that was a great sort of, you know, like foyer filler after a screening. And I think Leo Grand will be the same as well, because you can't help but, you know, just having a chat afterwards.
Yeah, agreed. Everything Everywhere All at Once was so good. I would have talked about it for hours afterwards too. Yeah.
With Leo Grand, you have taken it to a few places now, and it's in festivals. What's the, you know, sort of reception been like, and what sort of, you know, how, I guess you're getting a glimpse of how audiences might respond before it goes on a bigger general release?
We did Berlin Film Festival, so it was big audiences, and they were, you know, they had come out of lockdown. It was one of the first times everyone was back together. And so there was just this joy in the room of like laughing and cheering. And, you know, this is a great film for that, because it was like people were together again and we were looking at like a connection and a very uplifting kind of story. And I think, you know, that was great. We had so much fun there. But we didn't do Q&As or anything, so we didn't connect to the audience in the same way. We sort of watched and listened and everything. It's playing Sydney Film Festival at the moment as well, and then we'll go over to Tribeca. I don't know. I just can't wait till it's in the cinema, not just the film festivals too. I'm just like, I want people to just be going in at random times and hearing what they think of it. But yeah, I mean, I think it's an enjoyable movie. It's really funny and fun, and then I think it goes further into things that, you know, we want to think about in our lives, but it's not heavy. And so it's really a good one to sort of watch across different ages as well, I suspect. Yeah.
No, I think so. I think there's so many hooks as well for people to want to come and see this. You know, you have Emma Thompson fans, fans of the subject matter. I think Daryl's probably got a bit of a fan base as well. And
That's for sure.
and then, you know, we're all merging, you know, and enjoying the film and, you know, taking different things from it.
Yeah, that's right. And it's, you know, the film is largely about pleasure, but it you know, I really hope that it is a pleasurable film for audiences. And that's what I was thinking about as we were making it, is making sure that it was.
Absolutely. Just on cinema, mentioned a film earlier, but are you, you know, outside of your own work, are you a big fan of going to the movies?
Oh, I love the cinema. Like, I'm not a real film buff, as in, like, I don't know all filmmakers from the past, you know, I don't have that, but I adore the cinema. And I can go for the big Marvel movies and stuff, but I also, it's really intimate stories to me are the ones that I want to be seeing on the big screen. Like, I think about something like Moonlight, and there's a power in that, watching that in a cinema, that I can't have anywhere else. And there's been a few films that I've watched at home and then gone to the cinema, and the experience just so different. And I'm like, wow, I could have dismissed this film. And actually in the cinema, there's a different pace and a focus. And that focus is such a pleasure now, because we're so, you know, we're on our phones, we're looking around, everything's so hectic. I think the focus of cinema is amazing.
I think after lockdown, it was like, you know, when you're on your phone the whole time, because there's news constantly and things. And going to the cinema was the first time I'd put my phone down for more than like 10 minutes and focused on something.
I love it. But at home, I go to a cinema that's like, it's always just me and whoever I'm with in there. It's so tiny. And it's like, you know, I really hope that people, you know, really come back into the cinema for these kinds of stories again.
I think so. I think there's been a big push, you know, we've had some of the tent poles, James Bond and things, come back for this, but it's also come back for the smaller films because it's so different, you know, and it's that sense of discovery. Like, yeah. I don't know what it's about, but I like the poster. I saw the trailer. That's got me in.
Yeah. You know? I think we have an idea that like big tent pole films are the thing, and they're, because they're explosions and they're all big landscapes. But actually, I think the landscape of the body is way more interesting on a big cinema screen. I'm like, that's what I want to watch. Yeah.
I also think that some of those action films, it's actually fine to watch at home because you, maybe the plot isn't so essential, or, you know, there's enough loud noises to keep you sort of tuned in. But it's only when it's a quiet film.
I agree. And I would watch the big ones at home and the quiet ones in the cinema. Yeah.
I think we need to wrap up there, Sophie, but thank you so much for this film and for coming back on the podcast. Good luck to you. Leo Grand is in cinemas now, and it's a big screen experience, guys. You got to watch it in the cinema with some strangers, and do stay and have a chat afterwards.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks very much.